Welcome to Heartland Christian Center Sermon of the Week. You will be able to find more Heartland sermons at hcc.ag or Heartland Christian Center YouTube channel. Please like, follow, and share this podcast with others. We hope you enjoy this week's message by our associate and student pastor, Matt Willingham.
While you're standing this morning, I want you to go to John chapter 2 for our text this morning. John chapter 2, I want to welcome all of you watching online. Welcome our other locations. Put your hands together for North Judson, Hebron, Wanata, Westville, all of you. John chapter 2. John chapter 2, verse 1, it says, on the third day there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Happy Mother's Day, ladies. You see, I chose a lady to talk about today, so you're welcome. The mother of Jesus was there. Jesus was also invited to the wedding with the disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does this have to do with me? Now, teenagers, never say that to your mother, woman. Never call your mama woman. Took me one time to tell my mom, shut up. I did it at the age of 13. It was only one time, Noah. That's all it took to learn my lesson and not say that again. Woman was actually a term of endearment in the biblical days. It was actually a term of respect. But he says, woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. And his mother said to the servants, do whatever. Come on, everybody say whatever. Whatever he tells you. I'm going to stop right there. God, I thank you for your goodness. God, I thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. God, thank you for your word that you have for us today. God, I pray, Lord, that every mom, every dad, every student, God, every grandma, every person online this morning, God, in this place, so that they would hear you speaking today. God, that you would challenge and change us from the inside out. God, let us leave different than how we were when we walked in. God, than how we were when we clicked online to join this morning. God, I pray, Lord, that your presence would go before us and around us. God, open our eyes and ears and our hearts and our minds to what it is you have to say to us, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, everybody said amen and amen and amen. Come on, give Jesus a big hand clap as you are seated this morning. Man, welcome you this morning. Moms, ladies, happy Mother's Day to all of the ladies. Come on, ladies, where you at this morning? There you go. Happy Mother's Day to all of you today. I don't know if y'all realize it, but we got somebody famous in the room today because the PCC champion and the Morgan Township, or no, PCC record holder and the Morgan Township record holder for the 4x8. Is that right? 4x8 part of the team is here, Isabella. Congrats to Isabella and her team. Don't sink down in your seat, Isabella. Everyone wants to see you. She's going to hate me after service for that. I'm going to hear about that. And so good to see all of you, though, today, man. So excited to have every one of you here, our guests. Want to say welcome. Man, we don't take it lightly when you're here with us. And today we're going to continue our series that we've been in called Rooted. And today I want to talk about rooted in obedience. And last week, Pastor John spoke about being rooted in prayer and rooted in hearing and listening to God's voice and seeking after the voice of God. And what does it look like when we seek after him? What does it look like when we hear him talking? And today we're going to kind of continue that series and take it a step further of not just hearing God, but obeying God, rooted in obedience. And we see in our text that Jesus shows up in this instance. He's at a wedding, at a normal, everyday experience life. And I don't know why the couple invited Jesus. We know he's not necessarily famous yet because he hasn't done any miracles, but we know that he has been invited. Maybe this is a family friend, and that's why Mary is there. That's why Jesus is there. Maybe that's why the disciples are there as well. And but last week, you know, to take you back, Pastor John talked about hearing the voice of God and how do we listen to the voice of God and how do we understand when he is speaking and what he is saying. And I think that God speaks to us in many different ways. You know, God can often speak to us through his word as we open it up and we're reading and we're spending time there. God can talk to us oftentimes to other people, you know, in our life, other friendships, other relationships, maybe a pastor, a message. God can use something like that. God can use the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, something on the inside. But this is what I know to be true in my own life. And I know it's Mother's Day and we're all here, but listen, we're all here, so we might as well have fun and relax and be engaged and talk to each other. This is what I know about this, though. It is one thing to hear the voice of God. It's another thing to do what he says. Come on, can we be real today? It's one thing to hear God speaking in your life and understand the challenges that he gives you, but it's another thing for us to not just listen to the voice of God, but to also obey the voice of God. Because this is what I know for my own life, for my own personal experience. This is what I know about God's commands oftentimes in my life. They're not on the screen, but maybe you want to jot them down. If you're taking notes, you've got a journal. Maybe you scan the QR code in front of you. You have notes there. But this is what I know, that oftentimes when God commands me to do something, it will often look different than how I thought it should look. Right? It will look different than what I thought he should have done. And not only will it look different than how I thought, it will usually take longer than what I want. Come on, anybody been praying a prayer for more than 6 months that ain't happened yet? Anybody been praying a prayer more than a day that hasn't happened yet, right? I mean, we pray and we want God to show up right then. We pray and we want it to happen. But oftentimes when God speaks, not only does it look different than I want, but it will take longer than I want. But usually if I hang on and if I obey and if I last, I always understand that by the time I get to the end, not only did it look different than I thought, not only did it take longer than I wanted, but at the end, it's always bigger than I'd ever dreamed. That it looks different, yes, and it took longer, but by the end of it all, he blows my mind and says, man, that's better than what I was even praying for. That's better than what I was even hoping for. But it's tough to obey, amen? Because God sometimes will call us to obey something that he explains much later. That oftentimes in my life, I take steps that I know what he says, and really oftentimes, the only thing I hear him say is just to take a step. And I don't know what the step is for, I don't know what it's towards, but I just know that he said take a step, and so I step, and oftentimes he will call us to obey something that he often explains later. I'll give you an analogy. You can go read in Hebrews chapter 11 this week, go look at your personal time. It talks about Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8, that Abraham, that by faith, Abraham, when called to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. You ever felt like that before? I don't know where I'm going. I don't know how this is going to end. I'm praying, but I don't really know how to pray. I'm asking God to move, but I'm not really understanding or I'm sure of how he is going to move. And I've come to realize in my life that the space between what God is saying and what I'm experiencing later, that gap that we live in oftentimes of what he said and what I will later experience, this gap is called faith. And faith is not a byproduct of my obedience. That's what I used to think. I used to think that, well, because I would obey God, he would do something. And then because he did something, my faith would grow. My faith would be a byproduct. Faith is not a byproduct of my obedience. I've come to understand now, the longer I've been in this journey, that faith is the vehicle that moves me to obedience. The faith is what keeps me in God's will. Faith is what allows me to be obedient. Faith is what allows me to step, even though I don't know when or how to step. And oftentimes in my life, if I'm not careful, I find myself dipping out on God too soon and not obeying what he says. Because it looks different. It's taking longer. And in the story this morning, we see an example of this obedience. We see what it looks like to be rooted in obedience in our text. Let me talk to you about the reason for our obedience. Let me talk to you about the conviction that you and I should have, or maybe that we don't have yet. In our text this morning in John chapter 2, it says that, and when they had run out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does this What does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. And in verse 5, his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, just do it. These convictions in our life, oftentimes we don't realize it, but every one of us in this room have convictions in our life. What are convictions? Convictions are these core beliefs that dictate how you respond accordingly to the pressures of life. That's a conviction. It's a core belief that is there. You may not even realize it's there. But when the pressures of life come and squeezes you, what's on the inside, your core belief begins to be dictated externally. Like an example is very simple. We're talking about the wine that they made. Everybody knows that wine is made from grapes. And if you take a grape and you squish a grape, you don't get apple juice out of a grape, right? Come on, talk to me. You don't get cherry juice out of a grape. Out of a grape, you get... Y'all are so smart this morning. You get grape juice out of a grape. What? Why? Because on the inside of a grape is grape juice. And if you and I want to test a person's convictions, put them in a situation that causes pressure. If you and I want to be tested of our conviction, allow life to put us in a situation to be pressed. Because when a person is pressed, it reveals the true nature of our hearts. It reveals our convictions. My question for you and I, when we start feeling the pressure of life, what comes out of us? Is it fear? Is it frustration? Or is it faith? When we get stressed out, when we get pressed in life, is it turmoil? Is it anxiety? Is it stress? Or is it trust? Is it defeat? Or is it perseverance? In our story today, Mary has this urgency. She feels this urgency to do something about the situation that is at hand. Now, we don't know entirely the context of the story, but a lot of people agree that these are probably family friends of Mary. And Mary has showed up, and Jesus is with Mary, and Jesus brings along with him 6 disciples. Maybe that's why they ran out of food. They didn't sign the card right, the RSVP. They didn't do the +6 and tell everybody what was going on. But they show up, right, these family friends of theirs, and they're running out of food, and they're running out of drink, and it's becoming like a catastrophe almost, right? And it was a big deal during those days. Like during the biblical days, a wedding was not a day event or a day and a half event. It was a 7-day celebration. Like, they just turned it up for weddings in the Bible days. Like, 7 days of partying and food. But it was socially, not only was it socially bad and socially awkward if you ran out of food and wine, the families oftentimes, if you ran out of food and drink, could be fined. So financially and socially, this family's about to be in trouble. And Mary's like, we got to do something about it. This conviction inside of her rises up. But what I love about Mary's conviction that teaches me so much is, even though she knew there was something that needed to be done, even though she knew that it was a situation that needed to be handled, she didn't go to the master of ceremonies. She didn't run to the bride and the groom and say, hey, we got a problem. You're running out of food, you're running out of drink. It's gonna get bad. It's gonna be embarrassing for you, and you're gonna be fine financially. It's gonna be a big deal. She didn't even say to herself, what am I going to do about it to fix it? And isn't that oftentimes what we do in life? What am I going to do? What more do I need to do? What more must I do in my own strength? No, Mary had these convictions, yes, but in her convictions, what did she do? She turned to Jesus. She turned to Jesus, and she looked at the servants, and Jesus, she says, listen, we've got a problem. Whatever he says, just do it. Mary didn't ask no questions. She didn't need a 7-step process of what Jesus was going to do to rectify the situation. She didn't need a to-do list by Jesus and say, how are we going to accomplish? What did Mary do? She said, listen, we got a problem. Jesus, I'm going to need you to fix it. Listen, I've come to encourage you today that in our convictions, whatever it may be in your life, that you have a heavenly Father that you can run to. You have a heavenly Father that you can go to. And yes, I may not know how he's going to do it. I may not know when he's going to do it. I may not know what are going to be the circumstances around him doing it, but I do know one thing, that when I take it to his hands, I do know one thing, that when I go to him in my problems, I do know one thing, that when I go to him in my stress and I run to him, that he is able to take it and do something amazing. She didn't ask questions. She didn't wonder what was going to happen. Watch it. She didn't even know what Jesus would do, but she knew who he was. Because I can imagine Mary going back to her mind in Luke chapter 1, if you've ever read it, when she's about to be pregnant with Jesus, the Son of God, and Gabriel shows up and he says, "You found favor." The angel Gabriel shows up to Mary and says, "You found favor from God, and you're about to give birth to the Son of God. You're about to give birth to the Savior of the world." And I can imagine Mary saying, "But I know who he is. I don't know necessarily what he's going to do. I don't know how he's going to handle it, but I know who he is. I know what I heard about him. I know what I've experienced so much in my life, and I know what he can do. He can turn this situation around." And oftentimes you and I in our life, listen, why can we worship? It's not because of what he does, but it's because of who he is. Why do I worship? Not because I like the music or I like the song, but when I get a revelation of who God is, I'm able to lift my hands and sing. I'm able to lift my hands and worship when I get a revelation of who God is. That's why I can trust him with my finances, not because of what he's going to do in my life, but God, I know you are my supplier according to your riches and glory. So whatever my needs are, you're going to take care of me. Whatever the circumstances are, God, you have me. When I get a revelation of who he is, oh, I'm able to trust him a lot more. And I don't get so bogged down of what he's going to do. That's why Mary looked at the servant. He says, "Whatever he says to you, just do it." She didn't even tell Jesus what to do. She said, "Jesus, we ain't got no wine." He's like, "Well, it ain't my fault. It ain't my problem. What do you want me to do with it?" And she looked at the servant. She says, "Whatever he says, just do it." Obedience. What are the convictions in your life? Do they have you trying to do it on your own? Do they have you trying to figure it out on your own? Or do they have you running to who Christ is? See, you and I, we can't worry and trust at the same time. You've only got room for two emotions. You've only got room for one emotion. You can't worry and trust. You can't stress and trust. It's you and I coming to God in a revelation of who he is and saying, "God, I'm going to be obedient. God, this is yours now. Whatever you want to do, you handle it the way you see handling it." Obedience. Everybody say obedience. Mary had no idea what Jesus would do, but she knew who he was. She didn't ask him for a play-by-play, step-by-step. See, you know, oftentimes, I didn't say this in this first service, but for you and I, we got to understand that oftentimes our uncertainty is God's job security in our life. We want to figure it out too much. We want to have all the answers. I know I do. But if I knew it all, he wouldn't have nothing left to do in my life. Think about that. If I had all the answers, then he wouldn't be able to show up and work in my life when I needed him to. My obedience should not be based on what he can do, but on who he is. Let me talk to you about the requirements of my obedience, though. Let me talk to you about the contribution, because this is the beauty of God, and this is the beauty of the gospel. Is that can God show up and in an instant do it all? Absolutely. Can God show up and in an instant answer everything and fix everything? 1,000% I believe he can, because he's all powerful. But yet, for some reason, he chooses to allow me to be a part of the process. And it's really a requirement of my obedience. That God wants me to participate in the miracles that he's doing in me and around me. You don't believe me? Go to the text. So she looks at the servant. She says, "Whatever he says, do it." The Bible says in verse 6, "Now there were a set of 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. And Jesus said to them," watch this, "fill the water pots with water." And they begin to fill them up to the brim. My contribution. 6 pots of about 20 gallons is what history tells us. So roughly 120. Caleb, you got a baby in your hand still? Come on, Caleb. Come here. No, 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 Caleb, right here. No, no, no. See, I psyched you out. Come here. 120 gallons, roughly. I'm not going to do 120 gallons. There's two pitchers. There's some water back there somewhere. Go find it. Fill this up.
Can I take this with
you?
No,
don't take it with you. I just fill it up. That was smart, though, because you got to carry it back. Just fill that up. Six jars, 20 gallons, 120 gallons of water. Mary comes to Jesus. Jesus, we have no wine. Jesus is like, I don't know what you want me to do about it. She looks at the service. She says, whatever he says, just do it. And Jesus looks at the servants. He goes, all right, you see these containers? Fill them up with water. Now, can you imagine the perplexities of these servants that begin to go through their mind? Jesus, Mary just told you, your mother, you should listen to her, by the way, Jesus, that did we have no wine? And your answer to the no wine is to go get the water. Now, I studied it out to my best of my knowledge. Now, if someone proves me wrong, I will concede to you, but I studied out and read commentaries and did my best to find out this week. From my recollection and from my study to everything I've read, there were no wells that was close by. There was no water source that was very near. So this was about to be a journey and a process that they had to be on. A journey and a process that they had to be on to fill the water up. And the craziest thing to me, great job, Caleb. Good job. Crazy. Good job. Good job. Boom. The craziest thing to me was, is if you go study, and this is a text that many people debate about alcohol and drinking and all, and this is not the sermon for that today, but a lot of times in the biblical days, the reason they drunk wine is because the water was so bad. So it wasn't necessarily that they all had alcohol issues. It was just that there was no good water, and the wine was really something to drink, and the water was not very tasteful. But it, particularly in the instance of this particular water and these particular jugs, the Bible tells us exactly what they were used for. In the text, it says, now there were six water pots of stone according to the manner of purification of the Jews. So not only were these water pots needed to be filled with water, but this was water that was designated to wash the feet of the guests that arrived to the party. In the Bible days, they didn't have shoes, so they would walk on the roads, and on the roads is where the animals probably also were, so you can kind of get the picture of how nasty everyone was. So oftentimes, when you showed up, it would be this water that would be used to wash your feet and wash your hands. Now, listen, Caleb, I didn't tell you. I told you you could fill it up, but I didn't put any limitations, and you see there's other things over there. So would you like to enlist anyone else to help you? Yeah, you would? Okay, go ahead. Just get someone while I'm talking. You just go find someone. And because watch, this is what we often do. God gives us a command. Come on, he's calling you out. Someone, there you go. Go help him out. There you go. Go get him. They're coming to you to help. Look at them. What good people. They're coming to your rescue. As we will often wear ourselves out, making trip after trip, trying to obey what God told us to do. We'll wear ourselves out going and going. Well, I'm just being obedient, and I'm doing what God said, and I'm filling the jugs. I can imagine all the disgruntlement in their minds. I don't know why Jesus just didn't put the water in the jug himself. I mean, apparently he's got a plan, so why couldn't he just do that by himself? Why does he have to use me? Why am I the one carrying it? And we wear ourselves out with our complaints, and we wear ourselves out doing it all by ourselves. I never told Caleb he couldn't get more help to do it, did I? That was not, I just said, go fill it up. Handed him two buckets. There was more buckets sitting right there. Because sometimes, listen, watch this. It's in the process of obedience that, yes, Jesus looked at them and said, just fill them with water. But it's that process of obedience that it's the process that God is trying to teach us something in. It's the process that God is doing, trying to do something. And to us, we often look at it and we say, but it's just plain water. Jesus, you got us making all these trips and it's just filled to the brim, bro. Filled to the brim. It's just plain water. And oftentimes we think it's just inadequate, or we think it's not enough, or we think it's just plain. And listen, hear me this morning. Some of us, we think what we have is inadequate, but when we put it in the hands of Jesus, it all of a sudden becomes more than enough. All of a sudden, what is ordinary becomes extraordinary. All of a sudden, what becomes plain water can be turned into wine. See, you and I, we don't have to feel like we have it all together before God can work in your life. God can work in your life right now if you're willing. God's not asking you to give him something he doesn't have. He just says, what do you have already? That's what I need. Whatever you have already, that's what I need. So he looks at the servants. He says, all right, what do we have? We got water? All right, fill them up with water. They're like, water? Jesus, you don't understand. Like, it's just, she just said we don't have wine, and you're asking for water. No. Listen, whatever you have already, that is exactly what he needs. God says, I need you to use what you have, not what you don't have. I need you to take what is already there and just put it in my hands. That's what obedience is. Obedience is stepping out and trusting the process through it all. God is saying, whatever is in your hands, I don't care how ordinary, I don't care how plain, I don't care. That's good, bro. I said brim. Yes, I said brim. You're going to get it right to the brim. I don't care how ordinary. I don't care how plain. I don't care how mundane it may look in your life. It might just be water to you, but Jesus says when it's in my hands, I can do a lot with it. I can take you to Matthew chapter 14 to another story that looks so simple. And there was a bunch of disciples hanging around. There was a multitude of people. The Bible says, matter of fact, there was 5,000 men there. And everyone is there, and they're tired, and they're hungry. And the disciples are like, I don't know what to do, Jesus. Jesus, I don't know what to take. How are we going to feed them? And Jesus says, well, what do we have? And what do they start doing? They start giving excuses. We don't have enough money. We don't even have a place we can go get all the food. And finally, one disciple wises up, and he goes over. He goes, hey, Jesus, I found this little boy, and I don't know what you can do with this, but here's some fish and here's some loaves. Here's some fish and here's some bread. So I don't know what you're going to do with this. It's not much, but what can you do with this? And Jesus said, that's going to be perfect. Just give it to me. And the Bible says that he takes it and he blesses it and he breaks it. Some of y'all know the story. And he feeds a multitude of people around, right? He feeds a multitude of people that are standing there. And what happens? Everyone is fed just off of something so small. Think about it, how amazing that must have been that little boy ran home to his mom and says, Mom, you won't even believe what happened with that lunch you gave me. And she was probably like a good mom would be and be like, I don't know. Was it enough? I didn't have much in there. It was just some fish and some bread. Was it enough to feed you? He was probably like, Mom, it was more than enough to feed. It didn't just feed me, Mom. It fed everyone in this crowd. And I can imagine the mom say it was just so insignificant. It was just some bread and some fish. And look at what happened. What am I trying to tell you is I don't matter how insignificant. I don't matter how, it doesn't matter how ordinary. It doesn't matter how simple or how plain it is. When we put it into the hands of God, when we put it into the hands of him and we trust him through our obedience and let him do his working power, oh, he's able to use anything and do a miracle in our life. See, oftentimes, listen, I struggle with obedience in my life because I think my contribution is the miracle. I think I got to figure out how it's going to happen. I think I got to figure out how is it going to be? How is it going to break through, God? How are my kids going to? And I ask all of these questions. Listen, my contribution is not the miracle. My contribution is just the water. My contribution is just carrying what he asked me to carry. Man, right now with our church, man, y'all been on this journey. We've been on this journey together. I mean, think about for the last 7 years that we've been dreaming and talking, and now the last 2 years with the Sunshine Center. And is it taking longer? Oh, yeah. Does it look different? Absolutely. But as we're trusting and as we're stepping, and it's just like day by day, God saying, what is it that you have now? I want you to be faithful now. And as we're faithful now, then he opens up other things. It's the same thing in our life every day that oftentimes we think, I got to get all of these grand plans together. God says, listen, when you wake up tomorrow and you go to work, just be faithful with Monday. We'll worry about Tuesday when it gets here. Hey, when you be faithful and go to work, when you get to the office, just worry about the four people that you work around and in close proximity. We'll worry about the rest of the company later. Hey, when you walk down that schoolway, that hallway, student at your school, just be faithful in the hallway, and then I'm going to help you be faithful in the classroom. And then I'm do you understand what I'm saying? We try to think we got to get all of these big plans, and God says, I just need you to be faithful with the water. Be obedient with the small things. Be obedient with what it is that I have in your life right now. See, obedience is not tied necessarily to what I need to do, but more about who I am serving. It's this process. It's what is he teaching me in the process? What is he teaching me as I'm carrying the water trip by trip, asking people to help, looking for ways to serve? While we're waiting on a building for a Sunshine Center, we're looking for things in the community. We're serving. We're doing events. We're doing projects. We're doing all of these things happening. Why? Because we're not just waiting for this grand thing to happen. Listen, I've come to remind you today that whatever it is that God has spoken to you in your life, whatever it is that God has given you in your hand, be obedient to what he has told you. He told you to just go grab the water and carry it. Just go grab the water and carry it. Be obedient there. Don't overlook the ordinary. Be faithful to what God has called you to do right now. Don't worry about the next seven steps. Just do the first. Just do the first. Set your feet towards following Jesus and listening to his voice. Be faithful to where God has called you to serve. And so watch. If I'm obedient, if I'm rooted in obedience, that means there's a requirement. I have a contribution. What is my contribution? Carry the water. Don't worry about the miracle. Just carry the water. What is my conviction when I'm pressed in life? Is it me trying to fix it on my own, or am I running to Jesus? And then let me talk to you lastly about the result of my obedience. The consequence of my obedience. The story, Mary comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, we have a problem. We're out of wine, Jesus. It's like, I don't know what you want me to do about it. She looks at the servants, do whatever he says to do. He says, go fill up 120 gallons. Fill them all up with water. And as if that wasn't enough trust, and as if that wasn't enough obedience, he then looks and he says to them in verse 8, now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. And they complained about it. Is that what the text says? Come on, is that what the text says? Draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. And they asked a bunch of questions. Is that what the Bible says? Draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. As if they did not obey him enough to make all of the trips to fill it. Now Jesus says, take the very ordinary thing that you put in it and draw it back out and take it to the master of the feast. I can imagine as one of them dips some out. I can imagine, maybe not out loud. This is how I read the Bible. This would have been me. In my head, I'd be like, Jesus, you saw what I just put in this thing, and you know exactly what this is. And you're about to ask me to take some nasty, stank water to the master of the feast. Why don't you take the water to the feast, to the master of the feast? Because if he gets mad at somebody, how about he get mad at you, Jesus? Because I don't want him to get mad at me. That's how I read the Bible. But they didn't do any of that. They dipped the water out. And I begin to ask myself, well, when did the water turn into wine? That's a good question. Because if it would have been me, as I looked at the water, I'm like, oh, that's wine. No problem. Let's go. Right? I'd have been like skipping. Let's go. Master of the feast. Jesus already did his thing. That is not what happened. If you study the text and you look at some theologians that discuss, the miracle did not happen until they dipped it out of the water and began to step and carry it. And somewhere along the journey, it turned from water into wine. So it took them going the extra step, already knowing what was already in there, Already knowing what was ordinary had been put in place to take an extra step of obedience and say, I'm now going to dip this out. And Jesus, I'm going to trust you to do whatever it is you're going to do. By the time I get there, it's going to happen. And oftentimes in our life, hear me this morning, we have to ask ourselves, what is the result of our obedience? What is the result of the miracle of this story? Well, duh, Pastor Matt. It doesn't take a very big biblical scholar to understand. The miracle is he turned water into wine. That is not the miracle. And if you think that's the miracle, go read it again. Because go to verse 9. Come on, worship team, because I gotta close. That when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it had come from. I love how the Bible keeps us in here, but the servants who had drawn the water knew. They're like, oh, I know exactly where this water come from. The master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, but when the guests have been well drunk, then the inferior. But you have kept the good wine until now. Well, one translation says it like this. You have saved the best for last. And then verse 12, watch. This is the miracle. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The obedience, the result of my obedience, oh, yes, it was a great miracle. And I could talk about the ordinary to the best, and I will. And I could talk about the returning from the water into wine, and I will. But listen, the best part of the miracle is watch this, write it down, is obedience will always produce glory and belief in my life. That's the miracle. Glory, not to me, but to those around me of who God is. That's the glory. That's the miracle. Can you imagine the servant, the first one who wrote, who went by himself, and as he gave the cup to the master and he drunk it, he says, this is the best. Can you imagine the excitement of the servant running back and goes, y'all, he did it. He did it. I didn't think he would, but he did it. It showed up. I don't know when it happened, but I dipped it out and it was water. And by the time I got there, it was already wine. I don't even know. He wasn't even standing by me. I didn't even hear him say nothing. But as I walked, something happened. And can you just imagine the servants are then like, oh, let me go help serve then. Let me go help be a part of this. Why? What happened? The glory was revealed to those around. And listen, in you and our life, God is going to do a miracle. Oh, yes, I know God does miracles. But the biggest miracle of all is that as you and I obey him and as we walk it out, that those around us are able to look and say, look what God did in his life. Look at how God brought them through that situation. Look at God, how God showed up in their life. Look at that prayer that they've been praying for 6 months and for 9 months and for a year and for 3 years. And God showed up and answered that prayer. Look at what he did. And not only did the glory, the Bible says the disciples believed. Their faith was encouraged. Their faith was strengthened. Why? Just simply because of obedience at work in our life. And listen, oh, I told you earlier, obedience, when God asks me to do something, it takes longer than what I wish it would take. It looks different than how I wish it would look. But at the end, it's always better than how I would have dreamed. At the end, it's always better than what I could have hoped for. And listen, I've come to remind you today that you serve a miracle working God. I've come to remind you today that if you and I are faithful and obedient and trusting him in the process, that he's able to turn around what looks like ordinary and turn it into something extraordinary. He's able to take look like what the enemy wish could have destroyed you, what the enemy would love to disgrace you, what the enemy would love to humiliate you. God is able to turn it around if you're obedient and say, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make people brag about you. I'm going to show off my glory through you. Listen, and I know what you're asking. When? When, Pastor Matt? When is it going to happen? When is he going to answer my prayer? When is my marriage going to be restored? When are my finances going to break through? When is he going to take away this stress, this anxiety, all these things that I am facing? When is it going to happen? Let me take you to Galatians 6. It says, let us not get tired of doing what is good. I've come to encourage you and say, don't get tired of just carrying the water. Don't get tired of doing the ordinary. Don't get tired of carrying and stepping and doing exactly what God has told you to do. Do you wish you had four more steps? Yes. If I could pray that prayer for you, I'd pray it for myself. I wish he would lay it all out. But I know one thing, I'm just going to trust him for tomorrow. I'm just going to trust him today. And this is what the Bible tells me, that those of us, as we stay in doing good, as we don't get tired in doing what is good at just the right time. When? I don't know when, but you know what it's going to be? It's going to be the right time. At just the right time. When, Pastor Matt, is my kid that I've been going to pray, that I've been praying for, when are they going to come back home and have faith in God? I don't know when, but you know what Galatians 6:9 tells me? At the right time. When is my marriage going to be restored? I've been praying. I've been wanting God to do something in my marriage. But listen, if we remain faithful, if we be obedient at just the right time. When are we going to see the Sunshine Center built? I wish it was last week, last month, last year, but I know what? If we stay faithful at just the right time. When is God going to do the miracle that I've been praying for in my life? I don't know, but if I remain faithful and if I stay obedient at just the right time, if I stay obedient to his promises, if I stay obedient to his word, if I walk out what he has asked me to walk out at just the right time, I'm going to reap a harvest of blessing that's going to be greater, it's going to be better than what I could have imagined, it's going to be stronger, it's going to be more powerful than what I could have hoped for. Why? Because he is a God that does exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I ask. I can't ask big enough of him. I can't dream big enough of him. That he's a God of miracles. And when he shows up on time, oh, he's always on time. What is it that you're hanging on to this morning? And you said, I've become weary. I've become tired. Listen, I've come to remind you, he's turning something old to something new. He's taking the ordinary and making the extraordinary. He's taking something that could have destroyed you and he's making something to build you. Isn't that what the cross is? Isn't that the gospel message? What looked like death, what looked like destruction, what looked like the end was just the beginning. It was about to be resurrection. It was about to be a relationship with our Heavenly Father. It was about to be the sins of the world being paid for. It was about to be the promise of the Holy Spirit coming. Listen, if you and I remain obedient, God says, I'll show up at just the right time. And I'll not only do what you wanted, I'll not only do what you asked for, but I will make it better than what you ever dreamed. It would have been a disgrace for them people. It would have been a burden for them people. But Jesus turned it around and made it a celebration that they never forgot. Come on, I want you to stand this morning. Listen, if you and I would just remain faithful, if you and I would just remain obedient in what he's asking us to do today, what he's asking us to do tomorrow, not Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday, let next week worry about it, but what is God asking you to do today? How do you need to be obedient today? Say, Pastor Matt, I don't know if I could take another step. You're right. On your own, you can't. That's why you need him. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. I was reminded this week as I was studying and of a couple years ago, a young lady that came to my wife and I in our youth group who had been harmed by some people in her family, damaged by some people in her family, had did some terrible things to her. And you would never know that about this young lady. On the outside, she seemed so joyous and so well put together. But as she began to unveil her story, you could tell it was just a shell, and she began to weep, and she began to cry and bear these things that was going on in her life. My wife and I, our heart was just ripped out. And a lot of things then, as she began to tell us, began to make sense of how she responded to people and other friendships in her life and how she would sometimes just be so angry. And we began to talk to her, and finally, after a few conversations, I told her, I said, hon, you got to forgive those people in your family. She goes, I don't know if I can. I said, well, you can't on your own. So this is why we're here to help. But most importantly, you need the Holy Spirit. You need the Heavenly Father. She's like, I don't know if I can forgive. And I said, well, we're going to pray that the Holy Spirit is going to help you. I was like, but you got to start, you know, and then we told her the things we've all heard, you know, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. You know, said unforgiveness, you know, we told her unforgiveness is like, you know, you're just letting them live rent-free in your mind, like, it's just tearing you up. It's not bothering them. And so we prayed and she wept. My wife wept. It would be a process that we'd walk her through and help her with, and be weeks and months and even a year. And I'll never forget finally one day when she felt like she had really been freed. She came to my wife and I. She said, Pastor Matt, I've totally forgiven those family members. We hugged. And she told me, she goes, but you want to know how I did it? I was like, yeah, sure, tell me how you did it. She goes, the very first time you prayed that prayer with me, she goes, I didn't want to forgive at all. I didn't want to let go of it all. She goes, but I knew I had to. She goes, and so I just took one step. She goes, and you know what's so crazy about it? She goes, the more I forgave, the more I was then able to forgive even more. She goes, and as I forgave a little bit, it became more. And as I forgave a little bit more, it became more. She goes, and to the end of it, she goes, I was just, forgiveness was flowing. And listen, for you and I, that's our life this morning. That's what obedience looks like. God doesn't need us to get to Z right now. He just wants you to start and get to B and just take a step. And then just step him on his, trust him on your next step. And then trust him on your next step. It's obedience all the way through to the end of a miracle. It might take a lot longer than what you wanted. It might look a lot different than how you hoped. But at the end, it'll be so much better than you could have ever dreamed.
Thank you for listening to Heartland Christian Center Sermon of the Week. If you would like to partner with us and give, please go to hcc.ag and click to give tab. Please like, follow, and share this podcast with others. Also, if you have a prayer request or want to contact Heartland, please email us at pastorphil@hcc3d.com. Have a blessed week.